Anybody see what that is? Aqua Velva. Now, let me tell you, the kids of today, they have stuff a whole lot stronger than Aqua Velva. They have some of that body spray stuff. And some of that body spray stuff, we have to tell them in the cabins at camp, don't spray it inside. Spray it outside, because they'll spray it inside and it's like whoosh. You know, it's like really, really too strong. But this is my choice, Aqua Velva. So you may say, why in the world would I put on any Aqua Velva? Any idea why people might put some Aqua Velva on? To smell good, which may mean that they stink. There's one reason. What about any other reasons a person might put some good smelling? That's what we called it growing up. We just called it good smelling stuff. You know, we have a way with words down in southern West Virginia. We called it good smelling stuff. So what might be another reason any person might put something? Cools your skin, a little bit refreshing. Good, good. What's that? That's right. Some people might put it on for that. Of course, I got mine, so I don't need to do that part. But a lot of people put that kind of stuff on. Good smelling stuff. But you know, you and I as Christians, if you will allow me, should put on some good smelling stuff for the Lord. And we've been talking about that in Colossians chapter 3. You say, preacher, you really think we ought to smell better than the world? Well, hopefully we do. But it's more like a comparison really tonight that we ought to make sure that we're carrying around good things and doing good things and being all that God wants us to be. Good stuff before a lost and dying world. If you turn to Colossians chapter 3. We've been in this chapter for a while, and I know we've missed some because of camps and stuff, but we've been in chapter 3, and we're just now basically getting to where I originally thought this was where we was going to be and start, but God slowed us down, and we want to take it a little bit at a time, but in Colossians chapter 3 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter in Scripture, and if you would follow along, we're going to read verses 1 through 12 in Colossians chapter 3 as Paul writes to the Colossian church. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering. Now, we're going to stop right there. Of course, we've already covered the first 11 verses in this series. But tonight, the title of our lesson sermon tonight, four reasons why we should put on the good stuff. Four reasons why we should put on the good stuff. Now, we're going to break those good stuff down eventually, probably take them one at a time into things we should have in our life as a Christian. But first of all, tonight, before we just before we get into those, four reasons why we should put on the good stuff. Now, this ought to almost make any Christian want to shout. Seriously. Because this is really, really, really good news type of stuff. It's what God has done for us and who we are in Christ. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, these all four apply to you, or at least ought to apply to you, okay? And here it is. First of all, four reasons why we should put on the good stuff. That's the good stuff that God has for us as Christians. First of all, point number one, because we have been changed. Because we have been changed. You see, we're not supposed to act like the old man. We're not supposed to act like the world. And a lot of Christians, really, to be quite frank with you, obviously must not get that. Because they act like, think like, and everything, smell like, if you will, almost like the world. But God has changed us. And a lot of people don't get the idea of being changed. But when God changes you and saves your soul, He not only changes your eternal destiny, He changes your heart. He changes your mind. He changes what the purpose in life for you might be, your goals and your aspirations. Now, if those haven't changed in your heart and life, you might want to go back to Calvary, so to speak, and say, was I really saved? Have I been saved? Because we have been changed. That's why we want to put on this good stuff. And you say, where exactly is that in Scripture? Well, it's the third word of that verse. It says, put on, therefore. And if you see a therefore, you look back up before it to see what it's there for, okay? So it's therefore, put on these things. Therefore, put on these things. Therefore what? Well, sometimes it's kind of hard to figure exactly what they're pointing back to. But if you look back to verse 9, it says, the latter part of that verse, lie not to one another, seeing that ye have what? Put off the old man. Put off the old man. So, since you put off the old man, therefore, put these things on. Another possibility, it could be all of these actually, verse 10, it says you put on the new man. So that's why we're supposed to put all this other stuff into our life and make sure that we smell good, if you will, for Jesus. It's because we've not only put off the old man, but we've put on the new man. But look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, basically, if you're Greek or Jew or circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, guess what? There is no division. So therefore, since we're all supposed to be on the same team if we know Jesus, let's all put on this stuff. So therefore, you've put off the old man. Therefore, you put on the new man. Therefore, there's no divisions. We're on the same team. But also, as I look at verse 11, it could be pointing right back to verse 11, the last part. It says, but Christ is all and in all. Sounds like a pretty good reason to me to put on all the good stuff that God wants us to put on, because Christ is everything to me. Wow. You know, I really can't get in the mindset of people where Christ and church and the Bible and witnessing and tithing and all of those things that are crucial to the Christian life, I can't really get in their mindset where Christ is kind of like, at times he's like a bummer. At times he's kind of like a distraction because I've got all of this other stuff going on in life. For us as Christians that know the Lord, life is Christ. And I can't get past where Paul says, for me to live is Christ. And it says in that verse, but Christ is all and in all. He's everywhere and he is supposed to be everything. Therefore, Colossian believer, therefore, Christians at Oak Mound, guess what? We're supposed to put on this good stuff. Four reasons why we should put on the good stuff. Number one, because we have been changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I know I had that discussion. We had one night at camp, we were allowed to have, see, typically we have our cabin devotion with our cabins, of course. And there's four boy cabins and four girl cabins. So we had our devotion with our individual cabins. But one night, I'm trying to think, that was Wednesday night, I believe. Wednesday night, we had it by church. So if you came with Oak Mound, all of the Oak Mound folks, there was eight of us there. We had our devotion. There was a place that we had on the porch of the dining hall there where we got together. The various churches met around, and God led my heart to talk about being new, being a new creature. And if you're new, you ought to act new. And we get that sometimes out of our brain, or we forget it sometimes, that we are brand new. And therefore we should act like God wants us to act. Think like God wants us to think. Set our goals in life based upon what God wants us to set as goals in our life. Four reasons why we should put on the good stuff. First of all, because we have been changed. It says, therefore. Put on therefore. Second reason we should put on the good stuff. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Because, number two, because we have been chosen by God. That's a big one. You know that? Now, before anybody gets way off on some tangent and says, whoa, what are you talking about, preacher? We made a choice. Being chosen by God makes us the elect of God, and the elect of God are the elect of God based upon God's foreknowledge, because he knew who would say yes and who would say no. But really, that ought to make us feel special. You cannot take out of the Bible the elect of God. So you have to figure out, well, how can we still have free will? How can we still have free choice? You know, God, does God make us be saved? And some people, does he make them not to be saved? Not at all. If that be the case, and that's called Calvinism, by the way. Calvinism believes that some are ordained to be saved, some are ordained to be lost, and therefore you can't do anything about it. So here I am, I'm just kind of going to go through life, and what a bummer. I'm not one of the elect or the chosen. If that be the case, Calvinism, if that be the case, that only certain people could be saved and certain people cannot be saved, based upon what God did in their life with no regard to any free will or free choice, you might as well take John 3:16 out of the Bible. Seriously. Because it says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever, take that out of there, because it's not whosoever. It's who's been picked by God, right? See, Calvinism is way off. And you may think that Calvinism is some distant doctrine. Now, there's some pretty like-minded churches that are struggling with that doctrine right now. And what about Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 13? It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Might as well take that. Better tear that verse out, too, if you believe in Calvinism. Because Calvinism says that God already has his saved and has the lost, and we have no say in the matter. Well, if that be the case, the Bible's really lying in that case, because it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You see, the truth of the matter is, God knows exactly who the saved are. How could God not know everything? Remember, God doesn't see things linearly. He sees everything all the way. Remember, I've likened it to basically being at a model train display. And we as humans, we go up and we see a little section of it. I mean, it's a huge display. And we can just see a little bit. We can look at the cars and the train station. Isn't that cool? That's kind of the way we see it. But God is like, if you will, on a balcony looking at all the whole schmeal, if you will. And there's no way that God cannot know it. So God knows who are the saved. But you know, that ought to make us encouraged that we are saved, chosen by God, the elect. Notice it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is one of those verses that just clears up this Calvinism thing altogether. To me, it's not even a difficult issue. It really isn't. I remember the first church I interim pastored. We had a couple, it was a little church, little tiny church. And there was a couple in there that were Calvinists. And man, they had their Bible all marked up and highlighted and red and hot starred and everything. And that was their issue. I mean, that was their issue. It didn't matter what come up in church. They wanted to go to that issue. They wanted to go to that issue. So we sit down with them. And we was like, finally, you say preacher's going to sound harsh. But finally, we had to sit down with them and say, you know what? We're just not going to agree on this issue. And since it is your issue, you know, I don't think it's the best place for you to worship, because we just don't feel that way around here. You see, if you take that to the extreme,
Why do we even do fireworks outreaches? Because the saved are going to be saved and the lost are going to be lost. Because some are, God made them saved, some God made them lost. Why do we run a van in the mornings to pick up kids? Why do we have vacation Bible school? Why do we have invitations at the... I'm telling you, that may seem like a very distant, far-off doctrine, but I'm telling you, a lot of good churches in the past have fallen into that idea of Calvinism. And I've noticed one thing about Calvinists too, right? And I've talked about this, and other preachers have talked about this as well. It's kind of like, yes, we Calvinists, we're the enlightened ones. You know, you simple-minded people. Well, okay, if it makes me simple-minded, fine. I just believe the Bible. How about y'all? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Do I get an A+ for pronunciation? Notice this. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Notice the first part of that. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. How in the world can God not know who's going to be saved? Four reasons why we should. I lost some of you. I'm not sure where I lost you, but I can tell I lost some of you somewhere. Four reasons why we should put on, hopefully not on the doctrine itself. Four reasons why we should put on the good stuff. Number one, because we've been changed. Secondly, because we've been chosen by God as the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Third thing, this ought to make us feel blessed. Thirdly, because we are special to God. We are special to God. Notice what it says. I'm just looking at the verse. I'm not smart enough to figure out anything other than just looking at the verse. Just look at the verse. It says, put on therefore. So right there, therefore, because we have been changed, we're supposed to act this way, put on this good stuff. Secondly, it says, as the elect of God. So why should we put on the good stuff? Because we've been chosen by God, elect according to the foreknowledge. Third, because we are special to God. It says right there, what? Holy. 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 Do you know what holy means? Separated to God. Separated to God. Now, I think sometimes I figure there's both aspects of this. We are to be holy and separate and different. Absolutely. The Bible's very clear about that. But sometimes when it's talking about holy, in God's eyes, we're holy too. We're special. Do you know sometimes, do you have some special things in your house? And you know that some wild kids are coming over to spend some time at your house. Maybe they're grandkids or great-grandkids. Now, you don't put those precious things right there in the middle of the floor for them to play with. What if you have some fine china? Fine china. Hey, we're going to pause. Everybody going to smile? Smile real pretty? Okay, now we're all good. You wouldn't put your fine china out for the grandkids to play with, would you? You put it up in a special place. Now, in a sense, I think that describes the way God looks at us. We're holy. We're set apart in a special place, basically in the hand of Jesus, in the hand of God, and He's holding on to us. We don't have to worry about us being lost because we're in the hand of Jesus, in the hand of God, and we are special to Him. So not only are we to be holy and separate in the way we act, but God sees us as holy and separate and different and special. You say, preacher, if you only knew the day I had today, I don't feel very special. Well, let me tell you, we all have days like that, don't we? Sometimes this thing right there gets carried away. Sometimes that brain up there, that little pea brain, kind of goes places it ought not go, right? Sometimes these hands might do things we ought not do, and these feet might go places we ought not go, and these eyes may see things we ought not see. We don't feel too special. We're sinners saved by grace. I'm not excusing sin, but I say even in spite of that, we're still special to God. It says holy. Holy. Notice, I couldn't help but think of this verse when I thought about this. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. But I couldn't help but think of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, this is an interesting verse because some people use this as an excuse to be peculiar or odd. I mean, they're just a little odd. You ever heard the expression? Now, they're kind of an odd duck. You ever heard that expression? That's not what this verse is saying, okay? They're like, well, you know, we're supposed to be odd. We're supposed to, this is, read the verse. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice what it says. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation special to God and a peculiar people. And believe me, that does not mean an odd duck. That means we're supposed to be different than the world. Okay? A people set apart to God. And that's what we are. And that ought to make you feel blessed. Look down, make sure your socks are still on. Because God will bless your socks off if you'll let him. Okay, we're going to do the smile thing again? Smile. Four reasons why we should put on the good stuff. Number one, because we have been changed. Number two, why should we put on the good stuff? Because we have been chosen by God. We are the elect of God according to the foreknowledge of God. Third, because we are special to God. Now, if you just kind of think... If you just kind of brush over that, it's kind of like, okay, we're special to God. Think about who God is. I mean, you think about God who knows everything. God who can do anything, right? He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's ever-present. He's everywhere. He never changes. We're talking about a God like that looks at us individually and says, you know what? There's somebody special to me. Holy. They're special. Wow. That ought to encourage you. Fourth thing. Four reasons why we should put on the good stuff because we have been changed. Secondly, that's the therefore is therefore. Second, because we have been chosen by God. It says, but put on therefore as the elect of God. Thirdly, why should we want to put on the good stuff? Because we are special to God. It says holy. And then lastly, why should we want to put on the good stuff? Because we are dearly loved by God. See it right there? Holy and beloved. That idea of beloved is dearly loved. I mean, if you tell someone I love you, that's one thing, but I dearly love you. I mean, it's a little bit more special, right? Or you might say, I love you, lots and lots and lots. That means, and it's kind of the idea there behind beloved. God loves you lots and lots and lots. And God's love is not dependent upon your performance. I mean, if we want to be more blessed in life and experience more of the abundant life, the victorious life, absolutely, we'll choose good choices. We'll do what God wants us to do. We'll avoid the sin as much as we can with God's help. And we'll be doing exactly what God wants us to do as much as we can with God's help. But guess what? God's love of you is not dependent upon how you did today. I mean, I know sometimes we live in such a performance-based society that we may come to church on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and you think, boy, the first how many ever hour, 12 hours of my life, they've been pretty rough. You know, I haven't been an obedient servant. I've been thinking wrong thoughts. I've been saying wrong things. And we come in here and say, well, I feel really low tonight. Well, let me tell you, something to help pick you up is to know that God's love doesn't fluctuate based upon what you do. You know, once you've been adopted into the family of God, you're his child. I mean, for instance, the boys are my sons. They can go to Antarctica if they want to, but there's still a delay. They can go to the courts and say, we want our name changed if they want to. Thought about that a couple times, haven't you? But it's not going to change the fact that they are my sons. And it's not going to change the fact that I love my sons regardless of whether they're obedient or disobedient. As best we could as humans, we're supposed to emulate that as well. But let me tell you, God's love is a perfect, unconditional love. So don't ever feel like, oh, nobody loves me. That's a fallacy right there. God loves you. 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, whosoever... That's not it, is it? 1 John 4. Let me see if I can find it. Don't you love it when you get the wrong reference? You still love me anyway? Remember, it's supposed to be unconditional. Let's see, 1 John chapter 4, I thought, but maybe it's chapter 3. Let's see. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. What is it? 4:16? Okay, that's good. That's good. It must be in 16 and 17 instead of her. I have 15 and 16, but it's 1 John chapter 3, isn't it? Chapter 4. Okay, if some of your family wonder how come it took you a while to get home, well, the preacher couldn't find his reference. Took him a while. Okay, it's verse 16. Yeah, that's where we wanted to be. I think it was all right all along. I just... whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And that's someone who's saved. And it says in verse 16, and we have known and believed, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that believeth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. And then drop down to verse 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Why should we want to put on the good stuff? Because we are dearly loved by God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, if I got that reference right. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's amazing, isn't it? Wow, he lets someone like you and me to be called his sons. That's because of his great love for us. That we should be called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. You see, we should want to put on the good stuff. And it's a whole lot better than Aqua Velva, but Aqua Velva to me is pretty good stuff for a number of reasons. But you and I ought to have that desire to put on the good stuff that God has for us. We ought to want to, if you will, smell good for the Lord. And four reasons we should want to smell good or put on the good stuff that we will eventually look at individually, what we're supposed to put on. Number one is because we have been changed. We have been changed. Do you realize that it's hard telling where you might be if you hadn't been changed and been saved? I mean, you could be down here in the ditch, coming up whatever that road is there, coming up the church, that big ditch over there. You could be laying in the ditch right now if Jesus hadn't saved you. But because we've been changed, because we've been saved, we ought to want to put on the good stuff and be like Jesus. Second reason, because we have been chosen by God. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I'm glad I'm a child of God, aren't you? You could not pay me enough money to renounce Jesus. You could not give me enough kingdoms or power or authority in this world. It's like that song we sing, I'd rather have Jesus, right? I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I am so thankful that I am the elect of God. I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. And that makes me want to put on this good stuff. Third reason we should put on the good stuff, because we are special to God. Even on the worst day, you're still special to God. Really? We do things, sin against him, and he's disappointed, absolutely, and there are consequences because there's a chastening of the Lord, but that doesn't change the fact that Thirdly, we're special to God, and it never changes the fact that we are dearly loved by God. I'm really thankful that God's love for me doesn't do this, you know, like a roller coaster, up and down and up and down. So, if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Do you really want to be like Jesus? Do you really want to be like Jesus? If not, if you really don't want to be like Jesus and you don't want to put on good stuff in your heart and in your life, even like good smelling stuff, you don't want to put on the good smelling stuff from the Lord, if you will, there's a problem. There's really a problem. So first of all, if you don't really want to be like Jesus and show the world what Jesus is like, you probably need to say, Lord, change my heart, change my mind, give me that desire. But I figure for most of you, say, yeah, I struggle, but I really want to put on the good stuff and be like Jesus. I would encourage you tonight. Would you talk to the Lord and say, Lord, give me more desire? I think we probably all fit into that category. Give me more desire to be like Jesus. Give me more desire, more want to put on the good stuff in my heart and in my life. Would you take just a moment in the silence of the moment, say, Lord, give me more desire, more want to put on the good stuff and be more like Jesus. God's people said,